Hi there, folks. Welcome to the program. This, of course, is Stinchfield, the podcast. So the fix was in. We knew it all along. The January 6th Unselect Committee, this sham of a committee led, of course, by Liz Cheney and Nancy Pelosi's henchmen out to get Donald Trump, suppressed evidence. They hid it. They buried exculpatory evidence that would have cleared President Trump's name, that would have avoided an entire impeachment proceedings. I'm with Marjorie Taylor Greene now. This entire impeachment against President Trump ought to be expunged. Thank you, the Federalist, for coming up with this information. They found witness testimony in front of the January 6th committee that confirmed President Trump most surely did ask for 10 to 20,000 National Guard troops on the 6th of January, and it was denied, both by the D.C. mayor, Nancy Pelosi, and the Capitol Police. So why would they bury this? Well, of course, they bury it just to get President Trump. This is what the show is about today. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to go through some prior evidence that proves President Trump was not an insurrectionist, but tried to make sure that peace was kept on that day. And then we're going to talk to a January 6th father, the father of Jake Lang, whose son has been in prison for over 3 years now with no trial date set. That kid, Jake Lang, I call him a kid, he's a young man, was just moved to a Brooklyn prison after being in the D.C. gulag. I think this is now his 15th different prison that he's been in 3 years. What is going on that front? We're going to talk to Jake Lang's father about all that. But before we do, of course, the program is brought to you by Midas Gold Group, MidasGoldGroup.com. Now, man, I'm telling you what, protect that nest egg. Start thinking about putting some money into gold. 855-322-GOLD, MidasGoldGroup.com. Let's get the party started.
Uncensored and unapologetic. This is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, folks, thank you so much. It's great to be here. Listen, go to the website, grantstinchfield.com, grantstinchfield.com. You can watch all the old episodes there. Links to subscribe to the podcast, all the social media platforms. Stinchfield1776 on just about every platform. Go to my new TikTok, by the way. Not Grant Stinchfield as a troll of all of them. And so we'll hope to see you there. I want to talk today about January 6th. Man, what a tale of two narratives. You have a guy like me, people that look at the facts, people that look at reality and can acknowledge there was one area of the January 6th day, one time of day, one section of the Capitol that got a little rough, the West Terrace. It was the worst part. There was some pepper spray. There was some pushing and shoving. That's where Roseanne Boylan died. That one area was a little rough. The rest of the Capitol was an unorganized tour. These were not insurrectionists. These were patriots with a love of President Trump who felt the election was stolen, and they went meandering into the Capitol, and they all but took an unorganized tour with, by the way, Capitol Police guiding their every step of the way. We've seen the video over and over and over again. So now we're learning. After President Trump's impeached over his role on January 6th, peacefully and patriotically, let your voices be heard. Never forget those words. Those are from President Trump. That is not the voice of an insurrectionist. He had made a claim that he offered 10,000 National Guard troops to protect Capitol grounds on January 6th. He made that claim, that offer days before. We now see there's a letter from Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., denying the request. She said we didn't want it. The January 6th committee, Liz Cheney, said there was no evidence of this. Now, thanks to the Federalist, Anthony Ornato, who was a longtime Secret Service guy, became the deputy chief of staff for President Trump. Anthony Ornato said he overheard Mark Meadows push to the D.C. mayor the idea of anywhere between 10 and 20,000 troops. This testimony took place on January 28th, 2022. Testimony takes place, and they never do anything with it. They in fact bury it. And what the Federalist found out was that the January 6th committee did about 1,000 interviews. Half of those interviews are transcribed on the website, and guess what? The other half are hidden. Why? Because they exonerate President Trump. The other half of the interviews are interviews like Anthony Ornato's interview that says, yeah, I heard Mark Meadows, the chief of staff, offer up National Guard troops. You've got others like my very good friend, Kash Patel, who was in the Oval Office that overheard this idea that we would offer up these troops. This is Kash on with Sean Hannity. Listen.
Former Pentagon chief of staff during the Trump administration, Kash Patel. The inspector general, by the way, said you guys did everything right at the Department of Defense. Fact check. Did Donald Trump call for 10 to 20,000 National Guard troops to be on standby for January 6th? Did he do it 2 days before January 6th?
Yeah, Sean, and it's great to be with you. I was in the Oval Office on that day, days prior to January 6th, with the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and others, and President Trump. And he authorized, as the law requires, 10 to 20,000 National Guardsmen and women to be utilized around the country. But the second part of the law requires a federal agency or governor or mayor, such as the United States Capitol Police or Mayor Bowser, to make a request. Otherwise, the National Guard cannot be deployed legally.
Okay, and you have a...
All right, so there, folks, you have it instantly that he was in the Oval Office. This isn't even the Mark Meadows call that Anthony Ornato overheard. Mark Meadows is overheard pushing Muriel Bowser, please accept these troops. Now, the reason was not because President Trump thought January 6ers were going to get out of line and there was going to be an insurrection. The reason was President Trump thought these left-wing groups, Antifa and the like, were going to come to the Capitol and engage with the January 6ers. Lo and behold, it wasn't Antifa. It was the FBI. That was the group that was engaging and egging on the January 6ers. President Trump never could have seen that one coming. So Liz Cheney goes on Fox News. This is and listen to what Bret Baier asks her.
Several witnesses who say they met with President Trump on January 4th, and he offered some 20,000 National Guardsmen to protect the Capitol building on January 6th, but the offer was rejected. Is that true? Do you know that to be true?
Well, his own acting Secretary of Defense says that's not true. Chris Miller has testified publicly that Donald Trump never issued any order to deploy the Guard to protect the Capitol. And so I would point people to his own Secretary of Defense's public testimony.
So the four of you that I've had an opportunity to interview now confirm that on January 4th in the Oval Office that you heard Donald Trump authorize up to 20,000 troops, Kash Patel, 2 days before January 6th even happened. Tell us about that meeting.
Yeah, it's not one of those, thanks again, Sean, like Chris said, for having us, especially on D-Day, to talk about this serious matter. It's not one of those meetings you forget. The Secretary of Defense, Chris Miller, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, the Chief of Staff to the President of the United States of America, Mark Meadows, and the President of the United States himself in the Oval Office talking about some of the most serious national security threats we were facing. And then we pivoted to setting up for January 6th, and Mr. Trump unequivocally authorized up to 20,000 National Guardsmen and women for us to utilize should the second part of the law, the request, come in. But those requests never did, as you highlighted.
Let me be very clear. Both of you said this under oath under the threat of a penalty of perjury to the committee?
No, absolutely, Sean. And to be clear, yeah. Kash brought it up best. The meeting was one of the serious kind of heavy meetings I've been in, and it was about a foreign threat that was directed towards the United States, which obviously we can't talk to for fear of, you know, ended up in jail. And so I kind of want to be clear, the president, as we're leaving, it says, hey, one more thing. And we all sat back down and we discussed what was going on in January 6th. I don't want to, because I think that's important to bring up so that the opposition doesn't get this idea that this was the purpose of the meeting. The president was doing exactly what I expect the commander in chief to do, any commander in chief to do.
Yeah. Make sure that Capitol grounds are safe. Make sure America is safe. Make sure Americans are safe. So there you hear it. Liz Cheney in the beginning, literally an absolute denial over this. I'm going to go back to some more of this and get down into it. And I want to talk too about what the newest oversight committee looking into the January 6th committee and their failures found. Total opposite of what we were told by Liz Cheney. But before I do that, folks, I want to tell you about my friends over at Patriot Mobile. PatriotMobile.com/Grant is where I want you to go. Here's the thing, folks. You see President Trump under fire. We see all these January 6ers under fire. Patriot Mobile is under fire, too. He's under fire. The CEO is, the executives are, the company is, not just because it's America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, but because they support programs like mine. This plays into why the media goes after them. Because Patriot Mobile wants to support a program like this, or my Real America's Voice show, or my radio show in the morning. They don't like supporting conservatives who push the truth, which is why I urge you, support Patriot Mobile. The best way to do it is just get a Patriot Mobile phone. I have one, and I will tell you, this phone is the same exact service, at least as the network goes, that I had before, only now I got 100% U.S.-based customer service. I got a performance guarantee like none other. And I know that my money is going to a conservative company that's pushing conservative causes, like a program that puts signs in schools that says, "In God We Trust." Oh, that sends the left into oblivion. So again, 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT, that's the number. PatriotMobile.com/Grant. Use the promo code GRANT for free activation, and I promise you, you will not be disappointed. 972-PATRIOT, PatriotMobile.com/Grant. You make sure you tell them that Grant Stinchfield sent you. All right, so now you have Chris Miller, and you have Kash Patel. You've got Ornato, the deputy chief of staff, all saying President Trump offered up the National Guard troops. Let me just give you one of Liz Cheney's lies one more time so you hear it, and then we'll go back to Kash Patel.
Several witnesses who say they met with President Trump on January 4th, and he offered some 20,000 National Guardsmen to protect the Capitol building on January 6th, but the offer was rejected. Is that true? Do you know that to be true?
Well, his own acting Secretary of Defense says that's not true. Chris Miller has testified publicly that Donald Trump never issued any order to deploy the Guard to protect the Capitol. And so I would point people to his own Secretary of Defense's public testimony.
So I want you to listen to her words here. Chris Miller, who we just heard from, who was the acting Secretary of Defense, said President Trump never gave the order. Well, that's true. He didn't give the order, because the second part of the law was never exercised. And that was a request by Capitol Police, Nancy Pelosi, or the mayor of D.C. So he couldn't give the order. He offered to do it. They didn't accept, so the offer was never given. But she's trying to make it out to be that President Trump never offered that up, which is what is totally devious through all of this. Here's Kash Patel again.
We have the actual signature of Mayor Muriel Bowser to defense officials declining the National Guard support. We'll put it up on the screen. To be clear, the District of Columbia is not requesting other federal law enforcement personnel and discourages any additional deployment without immediate notification and consultation, et cetera, et cetera. Is that true?
So you see what the letter says? This is a letter from Muriel Bowser back to the White House, quoting, "To be clear, the District of Columbia is not requesting other federal law enforcement personnel and discourages any additional deployment without immediate notification to and consultation with MPD if such plans are underway." That's the Metropolitan Police Department. Now, President Trump offered it up. He knew there could be problems, thought it was going to be with Antifa. They turn it down. I believe they turned this offer down because they wanted chaos and they wanted to hang it on President Trump. Let's continue with Sean Hannity and Kash, because it was a great interaction that explains exactly what was going on.
That's 100% accurate, and Biden's DOD Inspector General himself said the Trump administration DOD did not delay or obstruct their response to January 6th, and Mayor Bowser and the Capitol Police repeatedly in writing refused to request the National Guard, and that's in the report, and it's in the DOD records, and I wonder why so many people aren't asking for it. I'm thankful that you are.
Let me ask you this, for the National Guard to have been called up, that had to be approved by Nancy Pelosi. Is that the correct chain of command?
Well, Nancy Pelosi supervises the United States Capitol Police. That's the federal agency and Mayor Bowser who would have requested the National Guard. So I can't imagine a universe where the United States Capitol Police didn't consult with their chain of command to make that request.
And then ultimately deny it. Now, Sean Hannity had the chief of the Capitol Police on, and I think what I took away from that interview was literally the most amazing prospect of all. They didn't interview him. So the January 6th Unselect Committee, that's filled with Democrats and phony Republicans, does 1,000 interviews, buries half of them, hides them because they exonerate President Trump, doesn't put those interviews up on the website where they put all the other interviews, and then they don't interview the chief of the Capitol Police. Why would they not interview the chief of the Capitol Police?
The restrictions I had as the chief, and ask yourself why the January 6th committee never requested that I come and publicly testify. Think about that. I'm the chief of the Capitol Police. To have me come down and publicly testify before the January 6th committee, because I think they were concerned. It would begin to show what went on the 6th, what on the days leading up to the 6th, and what was the involvement of political leadership and their appointees.
Yeah, he could answer all those questions, and he's not invited because he would have sunk their argument. Again, I'm with Marjorie Taylor Greene. She called for the impeachment of President Trump to be expunged from the record. This thing was a sham from the start. They all know it was a sham from the start. So this is the Subcommittee on Oversight, this piece of paper I have here. Initial findings report on the failures and politicization of the January 6th Select Committee and the activities leading up to January 6, 2021. The Subcommittee on Oversight is investigating security failures on January 6th. And they reviewed all the claims made by Nancy Pelosi's Select Committee. Let me go through some of these, all right? Because these are very, very interesting when you go through them. The key findings here. The Select Committee was a political stunt. Nancy Pelosi made the unprecedented decision to refuse to appoint minority members chosen by the minority to the Select Committee. You remember that they had Jim Jordan was one of them, wanted to go on. Nancy Pelosi says, no, you can't be on the committee. Now, if it's a bipartisan committee, you would think you would let the other party that does not have the majority choose which members they want on the committee. No, instead, who do they choose? Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, two people that amount to non-Republicans, rhinos at best, Democrats at worst. Key finding, they hired Hollywood producers to assist with their primetime hearings. They refused to adopt rules allowing them to operate without limits to project their predetermined narrative to the world. Liz Cheney was a vice chair, a position reserved for Democrats. Cheney was not the minority ranking member, but served as vice chair of the Select Committee, a position under House rules for a member of the same party as the chair. Pelosi appointed Cheney to the Select Committee as one of Pelosi's 8 majority appointments to the Select Committee. Former Select Committee staff members spoke out against Cheney's insistence that the Select Committee focus on President Trump. The Select Committee deleted records and hid evidence. This is a key finding from a congressional committee investigating another congressional committee. Select Committee deleted records, hid evidence. Thompson and Cheney failed to turn over video recordings of witness interviews and depositions, despite using these recordings in their high-profile primetime hearings. Hundreds of files were also deleted days before House Republicans took the majority, including over 100 password-protected and encrypted files. They also hid multiple transcribed interviews of witnesses who had firsthand knowledge of Trump's actions on January 6th, one of those interviews, we go back to Anthony Ornato, who overheard Mark Meadows and the D.C. mayor. So here we have it, that this was a major problem. Going on. The select committee promoted star witness Hutchison's testimony. Thompson and Cheney promoted Cassidy Hutchison's sensational revised testimony and hid witness testimony from White House and Secret Service employees with firsthand knowledge that directly contradicted Hutchison's version of the events. Hutchison conducted these transcribed interviews with the select committee before substantially revising her story in the fourth transcribed interview. Despite knowing how significantly her testimony changed, the select committee promoted it as fact. This is the one who said that President Trump tried to take over the wheel of the car. It was ridiculous. Hutchison's sensational story about Trump lunging at a steering wheel in the SUV after speech at the Ellipse was directly refuted by the driver of the SUV. This is what I'm talking about. Thompson and Cheney were aware that the Secret Service agent driving the SUV on January 6th directly refuted Hutchison's sensational testimony. Despite this, they still included her testimony in the final report and insisted it was credible. They never even called these other the Secret Service agents in for testimony. The Select Committee concluded with Fannie Willis, Fulton County District Attorney, wrote to the Select Committee seeking assistance with her prosecution of President Trump. Select Committee staff members with representatives from her office. The Select Committee is now advising Fannie Willis, the Fulton County prosecutor in Georgia, lo and behold, charged President Trump when the impeachment of President Trump failed. This thing is a sham job from the very start, and innocent people got caught up in it. What a total disgrace, man. I will tell you what a total disgrace. All right, before I get to my interview, I'm going to play it for you that was with Jake Lang, J6 political prisoner's father. I want to tell you about my friends over at Midas Gold Group. Now is the time to be investing in precious metals. We have a tyrannical government. They can literally hit a button and they can seize the money inside your bank account. The IRS and the government henchmen, it's like the only situation where you have to prove your innocence. Used to be guilty until proven innocent, rather innocent until proven guilty. Now with your money, it's guilty until you prove yourself innocent. With that, I would say take some precautions. Gold is a commodity. You can hold it. It has stood the test of time as a commodity to protect finances and during times of chaos. Here's what I want you to do. Go to MidasGoldGroup.com, 855-322-GOLD, 855-322-GOLD. MidasGoldGroup.com. They're great. I trust them. They, like my other sponsors, are with me on every platform I'm at. RAV, Real America's Voice, the radio show, the podcast, you name it. These guys are great. MidasGoldGroup.com, 855-322-GOLD. Please pay them a visit.
Plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War. But they failed. America stood. The threat to democracy must be defended. My predecessor and some of you here seek to bury the truth about January 6th. I will not do that. This is the moment to speak the truth and to bury the lies. Here's the simple truth. You can't love your country only when you win.
I'll tell you, folks, this guy pushes, again, the false narrative that J6 was some kind of an insurrection. I have done so much research, watched so much video. I would venture to say hundreds of hours of video I've watched. And by and large, the large portion of J6ers were unorganized tour goers. There was an area called the West Terrace. It got a little rough. The only people that really got hurt, of course, were J6ers. In fact, you had one woman that died, Roseanne Boyland. And then we all know about the other woman shot by a Capitol police officer. So the people who were really hurt were the J6ers. This was not an insurrection, folks. Not at all. Now they are political prisoners. We are learning that they're getting moved in the middle of the night outside of D.C. You've got three prisoners, Ryan Samsel, and Jake Lang, two of them, moved in the middle of the night from the D.C. gulag. Apparently, Jake Lang is in Brooklyn now. Why, I have no idea. Well, his father has taken to protesting about all this. Watch this.
Out here protesting in front of the Perriman Federal Courthouse, Washington, D.C., on behalf of my son and every other J6er, due to the inequitable, unlawful political persecution of these poor J6 patriots and their families. So it's about time we get off our sofas, get out of the house, get out to the streets, peacefully protest, hold these judges accountable, hold the DOJ accountable, the FBI accountable, every federal agency for all the harm they're doing to our American citizens. Any citizen can be picked up off the street now and held like my son for 3 years and 46 days.
You may hear that? 3 years and 26 days in prison and still no trial date set for this man. This is un-American, what is happening to Jake Lang and so many other of the J6 political prisoners. Well, I want to bring in now Jake Lang's father, Ned Lang, is with us. Ned, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Grant. Nice to be here, and I appreciate your time and helping us out here.
Well, it's nice to have you on. You know, I've gotten to know your son now over the years. I can't believe I'm going to say that, but over the years, I've gotten to know your son. What has this nightmare been like for you, Ned?
Well, you know, it's the craziest thing. So I come from a family of veterans. My father served in Korea as a Marine. My brother, Jerry, served in Vietnam as a Marine. My other brother served as a Coast Guard pilot, as a Coast Guard officer. And I served in the Coast Guard myself for 5 years, and my daughter also served in the military. So we come from a long history of veterans and military people that believe in this country and believe that what is good and right in this country is our laws, and that they're enforced equitably and evenly, and that there is truth and justice at the end of the road. But we have been mistaken so horribly now because of what's going on with the Biden regime. And what's going on with my son? He's now imprisoned as an American, as a free man, supposedly, who has been now in prison for 3 years and I believe 62 days as a political hostage, without giving a trial, without the prospect of a trial, and this is his 15th prison, that he's been in now at federal prisons, which is hard time. So they could snatch anybody, any American off the street with trumped up charges and say that you've done this, that, or the other thing and put you in prison and shuffle from one prison to the other, put in general population with some of the toughest criminals going as an American who's not been convicted of a crime, but just charged with crimes. And this is what we've come to in this republic of ours, which is nothing more than a banana republic at this point.
You know, he's coming up now on, well, he's well over 3 years. A lot of the political prisoners are not getting 3 years. They're getting less. Some are getting more. I really worry that if he had a trial and he wasn't even sentenced for it, now he's over serving time for something he didn't even do. You know, I've watched so much video of your son, Ned. There were times where he went to save other people. There were times where he was trying to help Capitol Police officers. And for whatever reason, they have absolutely vilified him and others. Is it frustrating that it seems like the prosecution in this is refusing to let the truth come out?
Yes, this is political persecution at its worst. This is a textbook case of political persecution. So my son, and you can see it in our documentary that I had made, went to January 6th as a peaceful protester. He was peaceful, and when he saw the cops pushing against those people on the West Tunnel and piling people over one on top of the other. And he actually ended up in a heap right on top of next to Roseanne Boylan died in his arms. And my son saw Philip Anderson, a black man, wonderful man. I've met him many times. And he was, he had his tongue hanging out of his mouth. And my son actually pulled him out of the pile and took him to safety. And they, and he, you know, he recovered, thank God. And Tommy Tatum was also rescued that day by my son. My son went, you know, he was calling the cops off, saying, listen, you're killing people, you're hurting people, stop. And the cops used flashbang grenades. They used lethal force on a static crowd. They used these tear gas canisters, firing them right into the crowd. The rubber bullets above the neck is lethal force. The crash bang grenades and stuff like that, that's lethal force. So the cops actually started the riot by using lethal force on a static crowd where they're peacefully protesting a stolen election, which is what we've done since, you know, the 1960s with, you know, the Vietnam War and beyond. So this is, look, you know, this is what happens when you have this kind of police brutality.
This story is very similar to other stories told. So it's not like this is some out of the blue story. This is very similar to all the others. Last question I'm going to ask you. He gets pulled out in the middle of the night from the D.C. gulag, the jail there, and moved to Brooklyn. Do you have family in Brooklyn? Is there any ties to that area? Why would he be moved to Brooklyn when his trial will be held in D.C.?
So this is the craziest part. This is his 15th federal prison that he's been moved to as an American who's not been convicted of a crime. And every time that his attorneys and my son and myself get set up so they can actually start forming a defense, he is ripped out of that prison, put in another prison. All of his discovery, his computer, everything is taken from him. We don't even know where it's at now. And I've spent a lot of money having the legal aides from my attorneys put together all of this discovery information, I mean, thousands of hours. And it's just ripped from everything's just gone. And then you have to start again. So you have the U.S. government has every asset available to them.
They take his computer. I know he's working hard on his case. They've got to go through all the video, what video they can get. They now take the computer. All of that hard work is gone?
We have no idea where it's at again, Grant. I mean, this is not the first time. This is like chronic. It's perpetual. Every time they rip him from a jail because, you know, he communicates outside. He's raised over $1 million. We've helped so many other J6 patriots and their families. He started Bless News Network. He's done so many great things in there. And they, and the DOJ and the corrupt U.S. Marshals and the corrupt Biden administration do not want that kind of light and exposure showing exactly how horrible our justice system and how much they're prosecuting and persecuting these innocent Americans until they're proven guilty at the hands of the U.S. justice system.
Yeah.
And my son exposes them, and then he's ripped out of his cell at 5 o'clock in the morning. The reason why I was down there protesting in D.C., I didn't speak to my son. Nobody spoke to my son for 7 days. And I went out to Lewisburg. They said he wasn't there. I said, I'm not leaving until I find out where my son is at. They finally capitulated and said he's in cell block A, but they can't talk to you. Then I find out the next day that he's down in Brooklyn. And so I went down to D.C. and I protested outside the federal courthouse because this is where it's supposed to start and stop, at the Department of Justice. And it's not happening.
Well, we'll keep helping you protest. We're going to keep shining a light on all of this. It's an outrage that they would take all the work that he's working on his own case. Who knows what they did with it? That's what frightens me the most. Do they destroy that hard work and ruining his ability to defend himself? Ned Lang, thank you so much for coming on tonight. We so appreciate it. And our thoughts and prayers are with your son who is in that jail right now in Brooklyn. All right. That's going to do it for us on this edition of Stinchfield. Please go to the website, grantstinchfield.com. Sign up for the email list, please. Imperative that I have a way to get in touch with you. Stinchfield1776 is the social media account just about everywhere. Give me a follow on Facebook. TikTok is not Grant Stinchfield, though I still have now the Stinchfield1776 account on TikTok. They reversed their complete and utter ban, and I am now back in action there. So pay me a visit on TikTok. And Stinchfield1776, everywhere else, not Grant Stinchfield on the new TikTok account as a little troll there. Folks, I'm so appreciative to all of you for watching. Pray for the January 6th political prisoners as we move forward. Hopefully get them freed before President Trump takes office, but certainly after he takes office, looking for a pardon for all of those people stuck in those prisons. All right, that's it for us. Stinchfield's Army Rolls, thanks to all of you. See you on the Real Americans Voice Show tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.